Welcome to the milk bar. 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 Welcome to the milk bar.
Welcome along. It's episode 164 of the Milk Bar. Jason and Zoe here in the studio this week. Hello, young lady.
Yes, I am. Just about as well, I think.
Really? Yeah.
It was late again.
You're moaning about your beloved husband?
Yes. And he knew I was coming out as well.
Well, this is it. You know, it's your one night out a week. Normally you're in slaving over a hot stove and cleaning
well,
the house.
Well, that's it. And you just can't get back in time for it.
Yikt. Nightmare. Hey, other than that, good week?
Not too bad. A bit poorly last week.
Aww, what's wrong?
I don't know. Got just a bit of a blockage somewhere.
Let's not go there. Okay, so other than that, what's coming up on the show this week? You have music?
I do. It's a very nice lad called Tom.
Tom Moriarty. Hearing some tunes from him. He's been played all over the place and we're sharing some of his music with you today. Also, we'll be talking to Jenny from Compton Hospice. Jen on the phone, Jen Marson, all about some forthcoming events.
John Starkey is going to be joining us as well, Jason, to talk about clairvoyancy.
And a bit of astrology too.
Yes. I haven't spoken to him for quite a while, so it'd be nice to catch up.
First of all, though, we go to the phone lines where we find the one and only Geoffrey Tristram. Hello.
Oh, buongiorno. Come stai?
Okay,
it's a bit too late in the day for that.
I thought we were crossing live to Gornal or somewhere. And,
I was feeling all Italian then.
Really? That's what it was?
Yeah, welcome to the milk bar.
Well, they're renowned
I'll have a latte, please.
We don't do things like lattes. You have a milkshake and be done with it. Okay.
Do you notice I pronounce it latte, not latte, like the idiots all over England do?
Actually, I'm surprised it is pronounced that, because it's like trying to sound foreign, isn't it? Because latte is actually how it's spelled.
It's latte, yeah.
Oh, he says it ever so nice, doesn't he?
Latte.
Considering his upbringing, yeah.
I worked in Italy every year for 10 years, and I had to pronounce things properly.
But this is, I think, documented in one of your novels, isn't it?
That's correct. I also don't
That was a quiz question, wasn't it, to see whether I've been paying attention?
That's exactly right. I also don't say, I'll have a panini, because you can't have a panini. It's impossible.
What? Okay, explain that one to me, then.
Well, panini's the plural of panino, you see, like cappuccino and cappuccini. So you can't say, I'll have a panini, because it means there's,
I'll have a paninis.
No,
in effect, isn't
exactly,
it? Yeah.
Yeah. So you say, I'll have a panino, please. But because the English are completely useless at foreign languages, we hear the word panini, or we see it written down, and we think, oh, it must be a panini.
Mm, everybody uses that, though, don't they?
They do. Every cafe in England says paninis. And I go around and I put them right.
Well, we do
one
those
cafe
at
a time.
Yeah, so I'm going to go into work tomorrow and put them right.
Because Geoff said so.
Yes.
And you can't have two cappuccinos either. It's due cappuccini, per favore. Anyway, enough of this Italian stuff.
Was that what we were supposed to be talking about tonight?
Nice.
I think it was something along those lines, wasn't it?
I don't know.
Yeah, your new Italian class, which you've got opening in Dudley College.
Do you teach people Italian?
No, he doesn't.
Oh,
no.
I was going to say, I love Italy.
he's an artist of the best kind, aren't you, sir?
I am, yes.
So, what's going on then? Because we've been having a national, we've been trying to get you on the show for a few weeks, but you've been busy doing things like cricketing tournaments. And
I went on a cricket tour of Wales, yes.
Is there much cricket in Wales?
Well, yes, there is, you know. But the trouble is that it rains so much over there that you can never get a game in. So,
but it's rained quite a bit over here as well, so you spent most of the time in the bar being offered paninis.
Well, look, you. Yes, we've been to Aberystwyth and Dalgethlie playing cricket. Not me personally, but my son and the Enfield cricket team on tour. And it was riotous, I can tell you that. We had one lad who bust his finger to pieces on the first day and
nice.
Never played again.
Dear.
And it's cut to shreds. And he went out in a green Tinkerbell fairy costume every night to the roughest bars in Aberystwyth.
What? Why would he do that?
Well, that's because that's what you do on tour, apparently.
Okay.
You do mad things on
tour.
Did
you do that?
No, not me, no.
You go everywhere else in your Tinkerbell outfit, but not on tour.
Exactly. My Tinkerbell outfit is just for me and my darling wife. When she puts the Gestapo one on.
Does she listen?
I hope not.
What else has been happening? Let's see.
I bet that's a whole new side of him you don't know, Jason.
There's books have come out of this one, I think. Well, there
you are. Do you want me to ramble off like I normally do on a tangent?
That'd be great, yeah, because, if you could just do that. Save us talking.
I'll tell you a Jamie Tristram story. That's my son, you see. He's a very nice lad, but he's a bit unworldly. And good spin bowler, though. But anyway, this is a Jamie Tristram story. So he said, I'm going down to see Ben Willis in Kimber. That's my cricketing friend, he said. Mm-hmm. So I said, OK. And he came back hours later. And he said, I'm fed up with that bus. He said, I've caught that bus every day for 6 years to go to Edgecliff School. And it just goes straight down to Kimber in 10 minutes. But today, it was a different bus, and it went all over the Reeking, it did. And I said, why? And he said, well, it went to Briley Hill, Dudley, Merry Hill. It went blooming everywhere. It took me about an hour and a half to get there. And I said, oh, well, that's unusual. You're used to that route, aren't you? And he said, yes. I said, hang on. Where did you catch the bus? And he said, you know the butcher's where I catch it every morning to school? And I said, yeah. He says, well, it was raining, so I crossed over the road because there's a nice shelter there.
And he didn't realise it had taken the wrong way.
That's a Jamie Tristram story. I have several more.
You're blackmailing with them later in life, won't you? I can tell them. How old is he now?
18, yesterday.
Oh,
and when was that? Last week?
Yesterday.
Yeah, there was our yesterday story, but there we go. On his birthday and everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Another cracker was when somebody at the cricket club said, would you like a drink, Jamie? And he said, oh, yes, please, I'll have a J2O. And he gave him a fiver to take to the bar. And Jamie came back with some very depleted change. And he said, oh, I've had a Mars bar and a packet of crisps and some nuts as well. And that's what he does to people, you know. They say, would you like a drink? And he takes off with their fiver and just buys whatever he wants with it.
He's probably practising that one on his dad for a number of years, I'm guessing.
He's just very unworldly. He doesn't mean it. Anyway.
So, back to you for a moment. We'll talk about more of the family later, probably. But last time we spoke, we were talking books.
Yes.
And I still haven't read the one you sent me. I'm very bad. Because I've been busy, but I'm going to take it to America with me when I go next week and have a read of it on the plane.
Oh, good man. Okay.
So that'll be good. I've had one of those Kindle things. Can I get your books on Kindle? That's what I was going to ask you.
You can get Mr. Maori Goes Home on Kindle.
Okay.
Yeah, if you want that. But I wouldn't read that on a plane.
Is it to do with crashes or something? Yeah.
Well, no, it's worse than that. Mm-hmm. It's about this complete buffoon called Adam Eve, who's a struggling journalist, you see. And he has to go over to New Zealand, but he gets into trouble before he even gets on the plane. He gets some handcuffs stuck on his hands and he can't get them off. And then he tries to go through, through the security with his handcuffs hidden up his sleeve, and of course the thing goes off and they arrest him and they think he's an escaped convict, and it just gets worse from there on in, because some policemen ask him to smuggle heroin into New Zealand.
Oh dear.
But they weren't real policemen.
No, it sounds like they may not be.
So he thought he was doing it, like, you know, as a sort of
test.
A test to sort of catch criminals in New Zealand and stuff. And he's so naive, he takes it. And then on the plane, the nice girl comes around with the drinks and gives him a leaflet about the fact that if you smuggle heroin into Singapore, which is where he's going first, you will be shot. And he's thinking, oh, great, I've got a bag full of it. But the police asked me to do it, so they said it would be okay.
That's all right, then. Okay, so don't read that one, but it is available from Amazon.
You can get that on Amazon, yeah. Mr. Maori Goes Home.
Okay, we'll look out for that one.
That's the book that Penguin said was ever so funny.
That's but they didn't publish it.
No, but thanks for that. Thanks for bringing me back to Earth.
Greater profits for you is what I was thinking. None of those messy advance things that they like to give away with books, but there we are.
Well, I'd love to get people to read Mr. Maori on Kindle, because it's only just been put on there and I don't think anyone's read it yet, so that would be lovely if you could.
How much is it?
Oh, it's only a couple of quid.
Really? Wow. Yeah. I shall dig the Kindle out later, quite possibly.
Good man.
So, what else is going on? Because the reason for this call was about some of your artwork rather than your authorship.
Oh, yes.
And it's an exciting new project you have going on.
Yes, I have.
Are you allowed to tell us about it?
Well, certain aspects of it, yes. I work for a big jigsaw company, a sort of you know, all over the world type jigsaw company, the best one they are. And they asked me to come up with this new idea for a jigsaw because they'd been racking their brains for ages and they couldn't think of how to do it. So I was driving home from Bicester, which is where they're based, in England anyway, because they're German. And I was coming back from Bicester and I got to Bromsgrove and I had a eureka moment, like you do, and swerved all over the road and thought, yes, that's it. And I came up with this whole concept for this new type of jigsaw, you see, which is a cartoon one. And it's very, very funny and unusual, because what you see on the box isn't what you get to make at all.
Right.
And it's like a little game of chance as well. I can't really go into it in too much detail, but it's like a little game of chance that when you open the box, there's a little card that tells you something that changes the entire nature of the jigsaw.
So you've got no picture at all
to work
from,
really.
So
you've got no picture, but you've got a different picture on the front to the one that you build. And the one that you build is what happens when you've read this card and changes the whole nature of the picture on the cover, you see. So you've got the characters and you've got the sort of general scenario, but it's like someone's given
it.
Yeah, you don't know what it looks like. Something's happened.
This is all rather intriguing, and you can't tell us much more than that until January next year, can you? Which is the big launch.
That's it, the big launch in January when the first four come out. And I get royalties and everything, so and it's kind of worldwide, this as well. So hopefully the royalties will
be
more than
well.
£4.80.
No, but they'll be in foreign currency when they turn up, though. You won't be able to spend it.
Yen.
Stairbridge will never be the same with you turning up with yen.
How many pieces is it? Is it quite a lot?
It's 1,000.
Oh, okay. That's the average, isn't it?
No, that's quite big.
People that do a lot of puzzles.
Jigsaw puzzlers. What's the collective noun for jigsaw puzzlers?
Idiots.
Oh, I like doing a nice puzzle.
So I've been working like mad on the first four, and I've just finished, well, almost finished the first picture of the... Because there are two pictures for every puzzle, you see, which is a bit more complicated.
Mm.
There's the one on the cover, and then there's the one that you make.
Mm-hmm.
So... I've done all the designs for it, and I've just finished the first one, and I'm all excited.
Which is good.
I'm quid for a change, you never know.
It could happen, rather than, you know, you stood on the street corner with your begging bowl again.
Yeah, exactly. Starving artist.
But what else has been going on in the family as well? Because when you last spoke, you were telling me about your brother's latest antics.
Oh, yes, David.
We had a chat with David a few weeks ago, didn't we? And this was all surrounding a young lady he'd brought into this world.
Was he deadly serious?
No, he was very good fun, actually.
Oh, was he? Oh, good man. Yeah, because he's a bit more serious than me.
He's more normal.
Talk. Yeah, but he's great, David. He's very dry. He's sort of Woody Allen-like. Yeah, he's you know this Doreen thing that he's done?
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Well, he's done his first TV pilot of it now, which is called Doreen Episode 1. And you can watch it on YouTube if you want to. And for the measly sum of 99p, you can either watch it free, like 7 minutes of it, or you can watch the whole first episode for 99 pence. Which will feather his nest, probably.
This is it. Yeah,
like the last one did.
Yeah, no, it would last, last one didn't.
Well, yeah, I mean, the last one did over 1 million hits, didn't it?
Yeah.
So he's trying to sort of engender, as they say, the same amount of enthusiasm for the first TV pilot.
Well, even if he gets 10% spending £1 on it, he'll be quite happy, won't he?
Exactly.
Even after the deductions are made.
Exactly, yeah. And I watched it, and I have to say, without any brotherly bias whatsoever, it is flipping brilliant.
Well, you're more likely to slag it off than anything else being related as well, aren't you?
I am, but I laughed my little socks off.
Aww. No, well, we did, didn't we?
Have you seen it?
Yeah. No, we haven't seen the new one yet.
Not the new one, I've seen the original. I showed it my son and my husband when he got home. We all had a little laugh.
Yes. The new one's a sitcom, and it's a kind of mockumentary sitcom, a bit like The Office.
Hmm.
So you're just like a fly on the wall in the Doreen household, and it's a killer.
So you can get it now for just the quid.
Yeah, and just type in Doreen Episode 1.
Into your Googles or alternate search engine, whatever you fancy.
Yeah.
If they don't put that on the TV, then something's wrong.
I'm sure they will, honestly, because it doesn't disappoint.
No.
If you've seen the first bit, there are elements of that in it, but there's a whole family now. You get introduced to Tangerine and Trojan, the children, and they've got another. The children have had a child called Taser. And there's the next door neighbour who does all the ironing for Doreen because she's such a lazy sod, she won't do it herself.
Taser doesn't go off on the wrong bus from the wrong side of the road, does it?
No, not yet. But you never know.
If you tell
David something, it ends up somewhere.
So the whole Tristram family making mirth and merriment, whether in some cases it's unintentional.
Exactly. Yeah.
Give us the website for everything that you have for sale at this time.
Oh, bless you. Well, it's www.jefftristram. That's not the nasty American spelling. That's G-E-O-F-F is the proper way to do it. Tristram, T-R-I-S-T-R-A-M. .co.uk. So it's www.jefftristram.co.uk.
And you can get more than you ever bargained for there, I think,
you will,
can't you, really?
Yes.
And you buy books. That's the other thing. You buy books as well as going to Amazon and searching for Jeff Tristram in there.
Oh, yeah, don't buy them off, you know.
Unless it's for the Kindle.
Oh, yes, you have to do that for the Kindle one.
Yeah.
But you can buy the proper books just on the website.
You can even have them signed by the author.
Absolutely. If you send me an email and say, I wanted to say to Derek, you old git on it, I shall write that on there for you.
Only after you've paid, though.
Yes, because it ruins all my books if they don't collect them afterwards.
Yeah, and then you can put then you sell it to a charity shop, like has happened in the past.
Do you know?
Jason.
I'm sorry, I still remember that story. No, one of Jeff's fans had passed on. That's what I think had happened.
Yes. It must be the only. That's the only reason I can think of. I was out there in Bromyard at a cricket match, and in the tea interval when they all eat the cakes and things, and we got nothing to do. So we walked around Bromyard, and we came to this bookshop where one of my books was lovingly signed to someone, and it was 50p in the bargain bucket. Git.
But it's nice to see that you weren't just binned and pulped. You were actually given away.
Well, that's it.
They
could have just thrown it in the bin or the recycling.
They could.
But no.
They could have gone, Jeff who? It's not even got a J at the front start of his name.
You'd think they'd have been a bit more gracious to keep the blasted thing after I signed it for them. So, Gerald, whoever you are, you're a kid.
Oh, like you say, he might have passed on.
Oh, I feel terrible now. Poor old dead Gerald.
Kept it to the bitter end. It might have been the book.
He died reading that book.
Yes.
It was too much laughter. I reckon you killed him.
I've changed his name to protect his miserable identity as well.
Anyway, we'll disappear, leave you to it, and you're off out again tonight, aren't you, doing something fantastic and interesting?
Me? No, yeah. No.
I thought
no.
You were off out tonight.
No, I'm just walking around the block to buy some ham. That's not interesting, is it? And then I'm going to wrap it around some chickeny stuff and digest it.
Oh, okay.
That's my life.
You don't use bread in your house?
Well, we do, but
you're not that Dukan diet.
Not when you're wrapping your prosciutto di Parma around your polo.
Oh, is that posh stuff again?
You see how I topped and tailed this interview then?
Full on Italian every time. Jeff Tristram, you're a star. Love to speak to you as ever, and we will catch up again soon, okay?
Grazie mille.
I think that was offensive.
Right. Bye.
For half an hour. Right, let's take our first track from Tom Moriarty. This, I believe, is the current single, Fire in the Doll's House.
Hey, Mr. Preacher, you're telling me you think you got a friend somewhere else, but you see him in the end. Hey, Mr. Teacher, you're telling me to live life by the rules that exist in the dreams of lesser fools. Mr. Justice, you're telling me that I can't cross the road as long as I do exactly what I'm told. Hey, Mr. Minister, you're telling me that I cannot be free whilst you talk of my right to liberty. If you can't see the madness, you might as well be blind. There's a fire in the doll's house, but you don't know where to turn. There's a fire in the doll's house, let it burn. There's a fire in the doll's house, but we don't know where to turn. There's a fire in the doll's house, so let it burn. Let it burn. There you leaders,
talk about the lives you're gonna save. Turn your back, then you send them to their grave. Hey there, you generals, you justify the reasons that you lie. Justify the reasons why they die. If you can't see the sadness, you might as well be blind. There's a fire in the doll's house, but you don't know where to turn. There's a fire in the doll's house, let it burn. There's a fire in the doll's house, but we don't know where to turn. There's a fire in the doll's house, so let it burn. That's the way, that's the way. Turn, baby, turn. That's the way, that's the way. There's a fire in the doll's house, but we don't know where to turn. There's a fire in the doll's house, so let it burn. There's a fire in the doll's house, but we don't know where to turn. There's a fire in the doll's house, so let it burn. There's a fire in the doll's house, but we don't know where to turn. There's a fire in the doll's house, so let it burn. Yeah, there's a fire in the doll's house, but we don't know.
Moriarty, Fire in the Doll's House, and I stand corrected, that isn't the current single. The one we'll hear next is, that's called Don't Ask Why, and we won't ask why I got it wrong because it's something to do with Zoe and some emails
no,
you sent me.
No, it's not. It's you, you're just not professional at all.
I'm afraid. You just sat there playing with your phone again. Will you get on and concentrate
no,
on the programme?
No, because I'm finding my email with
sorry about
details,
this, Tom.
Or...
No, there we go. Nice to have you with us.
That's right.
You've been played pretty much here, there and everywhere, and Zoe's just blanking you at the minute, playing with the phone.
No, I'm opening the press release.
Okay, that's fine. We'll leave you to that. So, Tom, tell us more about you and your music.
I guess the album Fire in the Doll's House just came out of me sort of writing about what I was going through in life, but also it's quite sort of observational and sort of writing about what's going on in terms of various things going on in the world, things like the financial crisis, sort of various things in politics, and various other issues. These are sorts of things that I guess inspire me, and that's how the album came about.
When you're working on something like this, though, there's things that are changing every day. Do you find yourself writing a song and suddenly thinking, ah, no, I ought to include that bit now? I've got to look for a good rhyme that goes with this bit I've just written in the first verse.
Well, actually, what tends to happen is that you sort of get into a zone, with when it comes to one song, and you just sort of focus on that. And then obviously... Yeah, of course, things are happening all the time. So you just find yourself writing more songs. So, right now I'm writing the second album because there's just so much to write about. And I guess the one thing with that is that you sort of think, right, I'm writing it right now. I don't want to have to wait, a year before I get into the studio. We do everything and then I come out and say, right, this is a song about this. And it's from last year, So I'm sort of working on the second album now to try and get it out, sooner rather than later, because this one took a little bit longer to make. But then again, it sort of touches on maybe sort of bigger subjects.
So. Say a lot of bands now are doing a political message, and you should know better than most, I would imagine, because a few years ago you were doing a 9-to-5 job working in the City of London. So what made you do that dramatic change?
Because I saw what was happening and I just thought, well, I'm a singer-songwriter, so I'm going to sing about it. And I just thought, there's no point me, you know, I don't want to be that tree falling in the forest. So I thought I'd just get the hell out and just get out there and start talking about it.
So are some of your songs written about perhaps some of your experiences that you've seen while you were doing that type of work?
Yeah, definitely.
But you don't know names, do you?
No, I don't think there's any. You know, that would be a very, very long list. But, no, it's more about, I think, at the time. Because, I mean, being in that world, obviously I could see what was happening there. And that makes you start questioning, A, what's going on immediately around you, but B, you know, what's going on in the sort of wider world, you know, in terms of, I guess, the way we see ourselves, the way that we operate, you know, as a society, as a race, and you know, what's happening in terms of, you know, people. Because the song Fire in the Doll's House itself is a sort of commentary on, you know, as the sort of lyrics sort of give away that, you know, that these so-called authority figures don't tend to have our best interests in heart a lot of the time. And the banks were definitely part of that, and so were some of the politicians that supported them. And I've travelled a bit as I've toured, and I've also, you know, just travelled for other reasons. And you know, wherever I've been, I've always just been struck by the sort of the beauty of you know, the ordinary man. If without putting, you know, without being too cliche, but you know, there's a lot of goodness out there, and it tends to get trodden on by people that prefer that we hated each other and fought wars.
And the way you work your music, I suppose you try and bring that across and put some lightness into it as well.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not a sort of, you know, shouty protest singer in that sense. I think somebody once said it was more sort of strong words, softly spoken. So I guess there's an element of that to it. So, I mean, some of it's pretty serious. And other times, yeah, it's like backing off a little bit, and you know, there's other things to life. There's love, and there's, you know, and the sort of you know, more fun stuff. So yeah, it's about having a bit of balance, I think.
And how do you work them when you come into the studio? Are you performing every single instrument on all of your tracks, or do you have a team who work alongside you that you play live as well?
With this album, I had a fairly big group of musicians that came in to do various bits and pieces. I mean, there are three tracks on there that have got three backing singers, three brass. There's some, I think I played the piano on most things, but, you know, some of the other guys I got in are basically, you know, really top session guys that came in for the recording. And a few of them I still play with when I'm gigging, depending on where it's at. But, so yeah, I mean, how I tend to work is, you know, I've got an idea of what the track is. We all meet up. Well, we did this time. You know, you meet up for a week. You just rehearse it again and again and again. Then you go into the studio, and off you go. Put down the tracks.
I can see from the biog that we've had on you that you've played in front of the Queen. How did that come about?
Oh, that was a long time ago. That was.
It was when you were seven, and it was your recorder, was it?
Because that's a youngster.
No, it was a school thing, but
the Queen never came to my school.
No, it was one of those weird things, right? And so I played the opening drum roll for God Save the Queen, which was quite sort of surreal. So yeah, there's been some interesting times.
Which Prime Minister was it as well? Was that at the same occasion?
Crikey, I'm just trying to think. Well, it was after it was Thatcher, but after she had been in power.
Oh, I like Mrs. Thatcher, actually.
So don't say that in front of this man. You'll end up in trouble, I'm guessing. But,
it's because she's a lady, you see. You can't be having a lady Prime Minister.
Yeah, you know, the thing is that whilst, you know, some of her politics, you know, are a bit to be desired. And, well, I won't go off on one now. But, I mean, the fact is that, you know, she was a great leader. You've got to give her that.
Yeah.
And the country was in a bit of a state at the time, and it certainly needed something. But
I guess it needs something. But the thing is, once you start a ball rolling in certain directions, it can go a little bit too far. And I think my my view is these days, you know, things have gone too far, you know. We can easily get into conversations about, you know, unbridled capitalism and what happens when that happens. Well,
let's stick with your message coming through the music and us enjoying listening to the tunes, I think.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And we will play the current single then now, which is Don't Ask Me Why. Where can we get hold of this one if people do wish to buy?
Yeah, well, it's all the album and all the tracks are up on all the online shops. So it's up on iTunes and Amazon and HMV and the various places. Those are the places to go.
And gigs on the way as well, I guess, listed on a website too?
Well, actually, I've just done a UK tour in June and literally went around the whole country playing sort of various venues. And I've been doing some festivals. So, yeah, more gig dates will be coming up, I would imagine, and we'll just be putting them up on the website. So.
And the web address is
www.tommoriarty.co.uk.
And you're going to have to do the spelling on that one for those of us who haven't read Sherlock
Holmes. Yeah, absolutely. Moriarty, that's Moriarty. Like the professor.
Yes. Tom, thank you for joining us. Good to talk to you and great to listen to the music. Thanks for coming along.
Thanks very much.
Ciao for now.
Bye.
And this is that single, Don't Ask Why.
You come into the room and I am talking to myself and you ask why? Tell you that it's nothing, cause it seems a thing to say, but I lie. A hurried explanation is the last thing that you need. It won't help you anyway. Some things are best forgotten, so the lies can be believed. And we keep those harsh realities at bay. Hey. And we're all here in this circus, and we're all part of the show. And sometimes final irony is love. So don't go searching out for answers, it's much better you don't know. It's all a lie. So don't ask why. She's an unknown number or a credit card receipt, it makes her cry. When she sees the children and she thinks of their deceit, her eyes are dry. A hurried explanation is the last thing that she needs. It won't help her anyway. Some things are best forgotten, so the lies can be believed. And we keep those harsh realities at bay. Hey. And we're all here in this circus, and we're all part of the show. And sometimes the final irony is love. So don't go searching out for answers, it's much better you don't know. It's all a lie. So don't ask why. Any secrets can you keep when the only truth is talking in your sleep? It's just the silly games we play, and it's the words that we don't say. Hey. And we're all here in this circus, and we're all part of the show. And sometimes final irony is love. Don't go searching out for answers, it's much better you don't know. It's all a lie. So don't ask why. It's all a lie. So don't ask why.
Tom Moriarty, Don't Ask Why. And there we go to one of our friends of the Milk Bar, Jen Marston from Compton Hospice. Hello.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good, how are you?
Not too bad, thank you. Yeah.
Good stuff. What's going on then? Because you've got another event coming up, which we need to talk about to get people along to, don't we?
Yeah, we have indeed. It's our annual variety show over at the Budgies Pavilion on the Stafford Road in Wolverhampton. And that's on 17th of August, starts at 8 o'clock. And it's £10 per ticket. We've got some great stars. We've got Craig Halford.
Now, he was on Stars in Their Eyes on telly.
He was a while ago, but he's been very popular, and he's a great singer, and he's also got a really good sense of humour, and he's been very, very good to the hospice. He's done lots of shows for us, so he's always very popular.
I've worked with Craig a few times. Absolutely brilliant man. Great voice.
In fact,
I think he said it, but it has been noted he sounds more like Meatloaf than Meatloaf does these days.
I prefer him, actually. I've got his disc as well. And also on the show, we've got Jamie Flanagan, who does a great tribute to Michael Bublé. Very popular. And he's quite young, but he's got a great voice.
And a nice line in suits.
Absolutely, yes. Looks like him a little bit, apart from being 6 foot. I was 6 foot, but and he does all the top hits. So, you know, he's been really, really popular with us as well. Got one or two new acts as well. We've got Richard Jones, who really good saxophone player.
Now, we met up with him in Wolverhampton's Top Talent a few years ago. He did very well in that. Absolutely excellent player. And yes, he must be about 14, 15 now, I think, isn't he? Is he maybe 16?
I think he's about 16 now. Yeah, mm-hmm. I saw him a couple of months back at he did an event at St John's Church, and asked him if he would come along and do our variety show, and said yes. So he's very good. And we've got some dancers, the Dance Fusion entertainers. Doing some dancing for us, and also we've got pop and rock singer Sophie Caldwell, who's done one of our shows before, very popular.
Now I think I've seen Sophie at one of the Top Talent things we've done, and is she from Telford?
I can't remember where she's from. No, she's Wolverhampton, I think. She did show for us about 3 years ago, but she's getting quite well known, been in one or two bands.
I certainly know the name.
Yeah, a local girl. So
sounds like it's going to be a packed night if it starts at 8.
So.
You've got a lot going on.
Yes, and then we've got our compere, Steve Welsh.
Yeah, we had enough with Steve a few weeks ago. Top bloke is our Steve.
He is indeed, yeah.
I thought you were going to say not as good as you then, Jess.
Well, you know.
That's on a par.
That's up to Jen to decide that one. But
No, equally as good. And you can get the tickets from the Compton Hospice shop in Wolverhampton. Give us a ring on our 1902 428 623. Or you can pop along to the Goodyear Pavilions and get an application form from there if you need to.
So tickets from the Goodyear Pavilion, 01902 428 623, or pop into the Compton Hospice shop, which is where?
This is in School Street in Wolverhampton.
That's the one down the back end of town. Is that by the Hogshead? Is that way?
By the market.
Right. Ah, that way. Yeah, I went the wrong way out of town, I think, in my head. But there we are.
It's
a nice venue as well, isn't it? The Goodyear's Pavilion.
Always a good atmosphere there. Got a light bar as well.
Oh, that's the reason you're going. And how much are the tickets again?
It's £10 each.
So £10 for a massive night's entertainment.
It is indeed.
Yeah, I think they do meals as well, don't they? So you could possibly have a meal beforehand. And,
they do, yes. Yeah. If you get there around 7, they do a nice basket meal or burger and chips for around a fiver, which is really nice.
Make a whole night of it then.
Yeah, that's it. Just go a little bit earlier.
Is it going to be like raffles and things like that as well? Or?
Raffle prizes and a bit of fun as well. Steve Welsh will be one or two people up, I expect. Different things going on, and also included in the price of £10, you get 10 tickets entry into our annual Hospice Super Draw with a chance of winning £5,000, and the draw's in December.
So, great value for money all round, I think, that one.
Absolutely, yeah.
But Jen, thank you for joining us. If you want to keep us posted on the other events that take place, or get yourself signed up for all of the draws that you do down at Compton to support what is a very, very worthy cause, what's the web address?
www.compton-hospice.org.uk.
Brilliant. So get yourself along to the website there, and you can find out all about any other forthcoming events as well. But put the 17th of August in your diary, because that's going to be a big night, isn't it? And make sure you get those tickets.
Lovely.
Jen, lovely to speak to you as ever.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jason.
Thanks for
your help.
Bye-bye.
Right, let's take our third and final tune from Tom Moriarty. This is Smile If You Want to Get High.
As if it's gonna rain again, and you know it won't be long before you break. Waking up and hoping something's changed, maybe something little rearranged. Don't know how much more of this that you can take. You can do it if you want to. We can do it if you try. Stop myself from yawning. I'm so tired, I think I might just fade away. Trying to make it through the 9 to 5. It's a struggle just to stay alive. Doing everything I can to make it pay.
Smile if you want to get high.
Now, Jason, I have a fab guest. Somebody I haven't spoken to for a few years. So I'm hoping he's going to remember me. It is John Starkey. Hello to you.
Hi, what a lovely surprise to hear your voice again.
Good. So you used to come on to my radio show a few years ago, didn't you?
Yes, indeed.
The Stars of the Week for us.
Doesn't seem that long, but it
It has. It's been quite a bit. It's been 2 or 3 years.
Yes,
John, you're a name that is known throughout both the Midlands area and, of course, nationally as well.
Well, I'm getting old, so a lot more people are knowing now.
But, I mean, work must be... coming in, particularly whenever there's troubled times. Obviously, people want to know where they're really going with their life so they can use someone like yourself for guidance.
Yeah, I suppose it does vary a little bit, but people come usually from the hook of curiosity to say, well, you know, my friend came, what could he tell me?
Hmm.
And I think it's the general hook of curiosity. But, of course, in times like this, then it is more pertinent. People are thinking, well, what on earth's going to happen and what's the next banana skin that we might slip on?
Have you kept yourself busy? I mean, what sort of things have you been up to over the last few
years? All sorts of things. I was in Llandudno yesterday doing a psychic event there where we did some talks about palmistry and that sort of thing.
Hmm.
I've been doing odd bits of radio and... all sorts of things, really. Anything that comes up in the subject that's interesting always seems to fascinate me.
I suppose it must be difficult trying to get time to have a one-on-one consultation because you are rather busy, but it's something I suppose you want to make time for because that's the centre of your craft.
No, I don't go to have waiting lists or anything. I only work as much as I want to these days.
Mm-hmm.
I think if you exhaust yourself so much, then you can't give of your best, really. So
can people still book one-to-one?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, please do, yeah.
Yeah. When it comes to preparing a star chart for somebody, mm-hmm. where does that actually start for you? How does that start to come together?
Really, you need to know the moment that they were born and where the planets were then, and then you can start the map, because mm-hmm. you can actually map exactly where the planets were at the moment. That's why the time of birth is important, the date of birth, and the place.
That's where stars will look different depending on where you are.
Well, you've got time zones and that sort of thing as well, you see. So somebody born on the same birthday at the same time, say, in America, would have a completely different starting point to somebody born in Wolverhampton.
I was going to say, a lot of people that read like these general stars that are in the newspapers say, well, how can one area have the same future as another area? And I suppose that's where it differs, is where they were born.
That's right. You have to look at with that, it's a very general thing, but you do get big explosions, like, for example, you might get an eclipse, or you might get one planet dominating a sign. Mm. Like if Aquarius got Venus come into it, or Venus is the planet of love, so you could say sort of vaguely that love and romance were well on the way.
As I say, myself and my brother and my dad are all the same star sign, you see, and I often think, how can the thing that's happening to me happen to my brother and my dad at the same time?
Well,
it's because we're all different ages, I suppose.
Personality-wise, if that happens, you're usually opposites to each other, but opposites that get on.
Mm. Yeah.
And there's a lot in this, the study of this sort of thing as well.
Oh, yes, it's mathematical, really.
Yeah, there's an awful lot of history that you also work on and understanding that's gone before.
Yes that's right. Things like Queen Elizabeth I, who had John Dee and Edward Kelly as the scryers who looked into the crystal ball and were the royal astrologer at the time.
When you're looking back at some of the history, though, as well,
yes.
I mean, how do you find that influences what you're doing today?
Well, it spurs me on to do it more because, in our modern times, we've lost a lot of the heritage of what's been going on spiritually and esoterically because of various other things, religion, culture, and that sort of thing. In other cultures, for example, the Eastern culture, it's never been forgotten, and it's something that's very much stronger.
And how do you find that the changing world, and there are people out there who are probably using computer programs to try and analyse these things, to churn out answers for people these days. How do you deal with it and combat that sort of thing?
Well, you don't really, because the computer's okay, but it's only a pathetic copy of the human mind, really. Mm. And it doesn't have experience. I know we've got one that'll beat the world chess champion at the moment, but it's a surreal intelligence, so it's a different in a way.
Yeah, I was going to say, my friend uses one online, and all you have to do is you go on the website, you click a button,
that's right,
and it tells you what
it's not personal,
happened.
Though.
Yeah. Well, that's it. I don't understand how they could think something like that would work.
Well, I had
not
one done in London a while ago at a lovely place. It was a shop in Covent Garden. Nothing to do with it except I've been in there and I rather like it. And I had a chart done and I thought, whatever. And it had a weekly guide. And somebody that was next to me, somebody that I knew very well, had one done as well. And theirs, it told them exactly the time that they'd buy a car and what colour the car would be. So I was impressed.
Was it right, though?
It was, almost a couple of days,
Maybe they were guided by
you never know,
possibly.
Did
you give the phone number of the dealership as well?
Was that probably. Yeah.
Being a little too flippant there, sorry.
Probably, fine.
But when you are working with somebody...
Yes.
How does it come about these days? Because there must be some sort of consultation before.
Yeah.
Obviously, they give you all the details about...
No. I usually take an object to somebody's to hold, like a watch ring, something that belongs to them. Mm-hmm. I talk to them first and then ask whatever they like afterwards. Mm-hmm. I record it so they can go away and listen and see what happens.
So not only we offer the actual star sign and birth chart for them, you will talk...
Well, the star sign is secondary for me, really, because that started because in early times, like in 1969 when I started, radios and newspapers wouldn't have anything to do with clairvoyance at all. I had to send a letter to the Birmingham Evening Mail to advertise with them, for example, and... they wouldn't have anything to do with it, so I decided the thing that they accepted, because they'd all got columns on it, was astrology, so I'd swat up on it. And it was the doorway, really.
And they gave you an understanding of that side of it?
That's right, yes.
So how many strings are there to your bow, then?
Oh, only clairvoyance and anything to do with questions like, what are we doing here? What's the purpose of this life? Where do we come from and where might we be going to?
That's a fairly big area, though, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
And if people do then want to work with you, how do they get in touch?
Oh, just give us a call, 01902-334-224, or the website's johnstarkey.co.uk.
johnstarkey.co.uk or Wolverhampton 334224. John, it is always a pleasure speaking to you.
Thank you.
Not only because you're a man I've heard throughout, you know, my lifetime, so let's say 20 years of listening to the radio and the lights, but also because you've got an absolutely fantastic voice.
That's nice, thank you.
It must be so soothing, though, when you're talking through something with somebody to come across so well.
That's great. Well, don't leave it so long next time.
No, definitely not.
All right.
Cheers, John. Thanks for that.
Lovely. All the best. Thanks very much. Bye.
Don't leave it too long before you join us, because we're back again next week, aren't we, Zoe?
We are indeedy.
Just before my trip to America.
Yes. Are you excited?
Not really, no. I've been there twice before. It's just America.
I suppose so. But you don't, like you say, you don't get much time to go and visit places, do you? It's just like a hotel room and an office.
And that's pretty much it. Except on Saturday, when I'll be meeting up with Pete Clements. The plan is, as I'm on the same continent, I'll be joining the guys on Fistful of Podcasts on the Friday night for the middle week.
But
it's normally quite rude, so hopefully they'll tone things down again for me.
That's got to be worth listening to.
It should prove interesting.
See you be embarrassed.
Yes. And also, Pete Clements is going to be meeting up with me at some point whilst I'm over there, and I'm going to try and do a show with Pete as we head around Galveston.
Lovely. That
so
was something different.
Record some bits and pieces of Make Ireland around there and share
it's
that
a shame
with you.
I can't come with you, Jason.
Well, you know.
You could meet up for the Monday podcast, couldn't I?
Yeah, pop along.
Fly in and fly out.
Yeah, that would be expensive.
Yes. And,
yeah, it's bad enough talking to you on Skype from Bahrain, but there we go. But thank you for joining us. We'll be back next week for more, and then for a strange one the following week after that. So, for now.
Bye bye.
Goodbye from the milk bar. 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 Yeah. Goodbye from the milk bar. Yeah.